I want to tailgate a little bit. I'm a firm believer that God writes the sermons. He doesn't tell us what the other speaker's going to write about. And mine is not like exactly like David's, but they do tailgate and tie together. And in this busy world that we are living in right now, you know, there are multitudes of spirit beings all around us, and they are invisible. Now, with the busy life that we live, the busy life that we are living in, we tend to forget about the invisible spirit beings and the invisible world that that they are in, where we can't see them, but they can see us. And they there are good spirits and there are bad spirits. It's like Mr. Horvath there was talking about Satan and his demons there. They are here to trip us up because, oh, thank you, sir. Hey, I'm breaking the law, but I'm going to do it. Thank you. They are ready to trip us up because God has created us and has called us to replace the third angels that left with Lucifer. He was Lucifer at that time. God changed his name to Satan. But for all of us who have studied God's word, has been called to know God's truth, we know that there is a spirit world. And in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 24, we know that God is spirit. And in John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God." And in verse 2, it says, "He was in the beginning with God, and the spirit world was long, long ago." How long was it? We don't know. We don't know, and really don't need to know but it was long, long ago. And, you know, and God the Father heads it up today. He heads up that spirit world, and he loves us and wants everything to be as he wants it to go, and it will. He has the power to do that. Something that we need to do, and as we go through our life, we tend to forget that we're not alone. We are never alone. There, like I said, there are demons, and then there are God's angels, his messengers, that are in contact with us to help us and guide us along. But long, long ago, God the Father and his Son, the Word, created other spirit beings, known as angels, who were created to do very special things in the creation that was done through the Word, who later became Jesus Christ. And they could think and they could choose and they could do things just like we can. You know, we can choose to do things that our brain is thinking about. I mean, we have to be careful we don't do anything wrong or break God's laws because we know God's truth. But the majority of humans, they just think off the top of their head of whatever feels good. And that is something that God is going to be correcting, as we know. But God has a ranking style of government that started with God the Father, who is at the top, and all the others are ranked below him. And God, who is love, he loved all of them. He loved all of them, and he gave them the opportunity. When he created the angels, long before he created the earth or any of the planets or anything, he had created these angels. And he loved them all, hoping that they would be obedient and know that their Father is God and was God. And long after that, and how long, as I said before, we don't know how long. We don't know, but one of the top-ranking angels by the name of Lucifer. Lucifer, known as the Lightbringer, and was in charge over all the other angels. He was over the guidance and direction of God's law with the other angels, over the other angels. Well, he chose to rebel against his creator, God the Father. And when God the Father saw sin in his heart and the heart of Lucifer, he renamed him Satan. And here is what was said in Isaiah chapter 14, starting in verse 12 through 15, that talks about what happened back then and of the prophetic times of the future that we are living in right now. And we will hear a whole lot of Satan saying, "I will. I will do this. I will do that." We will hear that many times. And here's what was said that will happen in the future. You know, this is something, there are some parts in here that you might think, well, you know, did Jesus Christ see Satan fall? Well, that was in the future, because God the Father and Jesus Christ can see the future and know the future. "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for have said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation and on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, down to nothing, down to the grave, to the lowest depths of the pit," is what it's talking about there. And we know that's in the future. That hasn't happened yet. From time to time, and very much so today, Satan and a third of his angels that followed him, known as demons, are still very mad and are working in their rebellion against God. They're trying to thwart everything that God is trying to do, and they make mockeries of God's holy days, of God's Sabbaths, and God's laws. They make a mockery. And we find this out in the days that the world calls holy, like Christmas and Easter and things like that, and Halloween. You know, these are all mockeries of God's holy days. And since we are called by God to replace them, we are their target. We are their target, and they will do their best to destroy each one of us. They don't want us to make it. They don't want us to be overcomers. They don't want us to be in God's coming kingdom. So what must we do? We must allow. Put that in parentheses in your mind there. We must allow God's Holy Spirit to lead us, which is the title of this sermon. We must allow God's Holy Spirit to lead us. This sermon is an extension of a sermon. Part of it is one that I gave in Cincinnati at the Feast of Tabernacles back in 2015. I was doing a study on strokes. As you recall, Mr. Vernish had a stroke, and we didn't think he was even going to make it. But God brought him through. And I did a study about it. I was listening to a doctor on the radio from Vanderbilt here in Nashville, excuse me, who was on a lecture and about what the brain can do on its own. After someone had a stroke, he said, the blood vessels on their own and the nerves will start rewiring itself. In fact, the title of that sermon that I gave at the feast was called Rewiring. I think I gave it here as well, too. Rewiring itself around the damage. You know, the stroke causes damage. In fact, it can kill cells in different portions of the brain. But God has set up a mechanism in the brain. We don't know how long it takes. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's a little bit slower. But anyway, the brain can rewire itself around the damage that was caused by the stroke. And I thought, wow, how fantastic that is, how fantastic God is to be doing that. And then God reminded me. He said that he and his son, Jesus Christ, do this every day. They send their healing to us every day and guides and directs us through the power of their Holy Spirit. And Jesus does this not just for stroke victims, but for all humans that they are calling and working with to be encouraged to be overcomers of their human nature in preparing us to live forever in this spirit world. This spirit world that is invisible, that we can't see. And Satan is trying his best to keep us blinded and not see what God has planned for us. Like, oh, well, oh, ho, hum, I have read this before and nothing drastic is happening. You know, and you put it out of your mind as you go through your daily life. God wants us to remember how wonderful he is and what he has planned for us. Satan had pride in his heart, and we can't be like him if we want to be in God's coming kingdom. We have to be humble, very humble in our heart and in our mind, in obedience to God every second of every day. Mr. Horvath was telling some very good points here that we need to do to keep thinking how we should be thinking on God's truth. Just as a stroke does damage to the brain, sin does damage to our human brains as well. We live in a culture of Satan's rule, completely over this world. As David mentioned, Satan is in charge right now. And why is God allowing that to happen? He's allowing that to happen to show all humans how horrible it is to live under Satan's rule. And he is offering everybody that has a willing heart to say, hey, I want to learn more about how to live forever. I want to learn more how to get the benefits from our Creator. That's what God is searching for as he looks across the planet to see the people that has a willing heart, wanting to be obedient to him. But God does the calling. We can't do it. None of us can do the calling of ourselves, whatever. You know, you can listen on the radio to some of the preachers that are on the radio. You know, and they will pour their heart out. But then they will say something right away that is really not in the Bible. God has allowed them to stay blinded. Just think how wonderful it is that God has called me and you to know his truth. The first resurrection is our target that we are striving for, to be changed from this flesh to spirit. So God has a plan for us, but we need to keep that in our brains all day long. We need to be thinking of how should I be living. Mr. Horvath hit the nail on the head on the fruits of the Spirit there, of how we should be thinking and doing, and overcoming all this bad thoughts with good. He has called us to develop Satan has caused us to develop sinful habits. You know, habits that we have had since we were little kids. We have to overcome them. And they are ingrained in our mind and encouraged by Satan and his demons today. They don't get tired. They don't sleep. They are after us day and night to remember the sinful habits that we learned as a little kid even. That must be eradicated out of our brains. It need to be cleansed out of our mind and filled with God's healthy way of life. We have to have a healing of the mind. Our minds need to be healed. We need to pray about that and have hands laid on us from our ministers, that we need our brains healed, not just of a stroke, but of all the bad habits that we have collected all through our life. A complete change of thinking and our habits must take place. And we can't do this on our own, as I mentioned. God the Father does the calling. He plants the seeds. And when he sees a willing heart, he turns us over to Jesus Christ to work with us and to lead us through the power of his Holy Spirit. And we can do this by making a choice of having a close relationship with our elder brother, Jesus the Christ, who will help us every step of the way to receive God's Holy Spirit and then depend on it all the days of our life. That close relationship, it's a choice. It's a choice. Just like our thoughts are, our thoughts are, if we hang on to the bad habits that we have had, that's a choice. We need to find out what it takes to please God, to be obedient to Him. He gave us His commandments and His holy days, and how we are to love one another, to learn how to love, because God is love. God is love. None of us can overcome our sins and fully obey our Heavenly Father without His divine help. Even if we could, by our own will, we cannot alter our actions, because only God can change and heal our heart and our actions. But we have to make that choice to want it, to desire it, to hunger for it, to be humble as we read the scriptures, eat God's daily spiritual food to help us along, so that God can talk to us through the scriptures. This is why the Apostle Paul spoke to the members of the church in Rome, and he told them not to be conformed to this world. He put it very plain, don't be conformed to the world, meaning not to take on their sinful habits or way of life as the people of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the power of God's Holy Spirit. That was in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, if you want to jot that down. That Spirit is the power of God that God uses to transform our lives, to renew our minds. And our part is to eat that spiritual food every day, as often as you can. Eat God's spiritual food for eternal life, for good health, for God to be merciful to us. Earlier in this epistle, chapter 8, Paul helps us to understand how the Holy Spirit works in our life as Christians. And in verse 14, he writes, that's in chapter 8, verse 14, he writes that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, to be led by God, we have to allow God to lead us. We have to make that choice in our brain and our mind. We have to allow Him to do that. That means to give up on our will and say, God, it's Your will that I want to follow. And here we see that to be considered God's children, we must be led by God's Holy Spirit. There is no getting around it. Our will is tainted. Our will is wrong. Our human nature is base, and we need to be led by God's Holy Spirit. And Paul continues on this same thought in verse 9, where he is stating that if you do not have God's Spirit, referring to Christ's Spirit dwelling and living in us, you are not His. I gave a sermon that was titled "That You Are Not His" over in Jackson. Oh, this has been 15 or 20 years ago, maybe something like that, a long, long time ago. That you are not His if you do not have God's Holy Spirit living in you. Now, that's a very, very scary thought, to not belong to Christ. If so, you would have no hope. Well, that sermon that I gave over there in Jackson, evidently it penetrated a whole lot of people, because several weeks, several months, and a few years after that, I started getting phone calls from people saying, I want to talk about baptism. And it has ended up so far that I have baptized 10 people over in Jackson, and they all repeat that same sermon that I gave that really scared them. That you are not His, speaking of Jesus Christ. How scary of a thought that is, to not belong to Christ. If so, you have no hope. It's over. It's done. You have no hope. Eat, drink, and be merry, because it's going to be over. Which is the wrong way to go, of course. This is why it is vital that we repent of our sins daily and be baptized and have hands laid on us so that we can surrender our lives to God. We can't really surrender our lives to God unless God's Spirit is in us. We don't have the ability to even surrender. We have to have that want to in our mind and make the right decision, the right choice. We need to surrender to God and receive the gift of His Spirit to work in us, to transform our lives in preparation to live right now in this physical life that we're living right now, and also as spirit beings in the kingdom of God. Paul also writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, that you have Christ in you if, that preposition if always gets in the way, if you are a Christian. You have to be a real Christian. We hear a whole lot of people, you know, that are in different church groups that are saying, you know, oh, I'm a Christian. I was born a Christian, and my mom and daddy were that way, so I'm a Christian. They really don't even know what a Christian is. It is through the power and the influence of God's Spirit that we allow, that word allow, that we allow Christ to live in us. Let me repeat. We must allow Christ to live in us. It's our choice. And what's he want us to do? He wants us to choose life. After Paul had received God's Holy Spirit, he describes a new outlook on life. And we should reflect with the same outlook. And Paul went on to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, in this physical form he's talking about, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. What is faith? That means full trust, complete trust, no doubt, no matter how the outcome is. God knows our future. He knows how he wants us to end up. And he always thinks the best for each one of us. He's not going to let us down, whether we might think, well, you know, hey, he didn't heal me of this. Or he let so-and-so die. It's God's choice. We belong to God. He says, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We are bought and paid for. Bought and paid for. We don't own ourselves. We don't have any choice in doing wrong, really. We have the choice of doing right, but we should not have a choice to do wrong. We don't belong to ourselves. God owns us, paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that was in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I took that from the King James Version. When Paul was symbolically buried, baptized with Jesus in the watery grave of baptism, Paul now lived a life that was no longer his own. He described his transformed life as one of allowing, Paul said this, transformed, he lived this transformed life by allowing Christ to live again within him. This is how we please God, by emulating his Son. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul urged other believers by saying, imitate me, not exactly, but he says, just as I also imitate Christ. Paul was also human as well, too. All humans are fallible, hard to understand sometimes. But he said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. That's more than probably what any of us can actually say right now about ourselves. We need to imitate Christ better than what we have been. And over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, in the Revised Standard Version, I took this, Paul tells us, let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. For us to imitate Christ, we must ask God for his help. through His Holy Spirit, so that we can humbly obey God and bring our thoughts and attitudes and actions in line with His. We need to learn how to think like God and Jesus Christ. What would they do in a situation? We are challenged every day, each one of us, with different decisions that we have to make. And sometimes those decisions have to come fast. Those things will hit us right in the face, and we have to decide right on the spot. But if we train ourselves to be thinking the way that God the Father and Christ thinks, we will be armed so that we can make those fast decisions, so that we can choose rightly. We must allow His Holy Spirit to become the guiding force in our lives to produce qualities of true Christianity. We all need to do a study on what it is to be a real Christian. I know we have some papers that we can download about that, as a matter of fact. What it means to be a true Christian and have those true qualities of Christianity. Like I mentioned before, you can hear these many preachers on TV and on the radio talking about being a Christian, and they can't describe it properly. We need to be doing it. We need to be able to live our lives. Now, our example that we have to set before everyone we come in contact with is our example. We don't have to broadcast who we are or what we're doing. They can see who we are by the things that we do and the things that we say and the actions that we do. And then then that opens the door for God the Father then to plant the seed into that person to see what happens. And if they have that willing heart, fine. And if not, that's God's prerogative. We must regularly ask ourselves whether we are truly being led by God's Spirit, or are we resisting it? It is dangerous to resist God's Holy Spirit. Very, very dangerous. You don't want to refuse God's Holy Spirit, especially after you have been baptized and have hands laid on you and received God's Holy Spirit. Extremely dangerous. God will have Jesus Christ to work with us, you know, as we are being called, and they are merciful to us. But it's very, very dangerous to resist God's Holy Spirit after you already have it. The sacrifice has been done. Jesus Christ made the sacrifice. We can't re-crucify Him. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, we find that the only way to receive God's help is through His Spirit, because without the power of God's Spirit, we can have no close or deep relationship with our Heavenly Father, nor can we become His children. We would be left out of the picture. It is because the Spirit in us that we are called the children of God. We can't refuse the Spirit that is living in us and working with us and leading us. It's like walking across a busy highway or something like this, you know, and the Spirit of God is going to say, no, don't go there. Don't do that. And if you say, well, hey, I can make it, and you start running and get run over, you know, that's a choice that you made, not the Spirit. We must understand what it means to be led by the Spirit. God's Spirit does not drive or push us around. It leads us. It will not prevent us from sinning. God's Holy Spirit will not prevent us from sinning. We are still human. We are still in charge. We still make choices. The choice is ours. The Holy Spirit is not going to prevent anyone from sinning, nor will it force us to do what is right. You know, God wants to see what our attitude is. He allows us to be tested all the days of our life. And things will happen. Sometimes God will allow Satan to slap us in the face to see what our reaction is going to be. God wants to make sure that He can trust us all the way to the return of Jesus Christ. Again, God's Spirit leads us. And here is the key. Here is the key that we must remember. And that is, we must, not maybe, there's no maybes in here, we must be willing to follow what the Spirit is saying. And the Spirit is saying God's truth. The Spirit will not say anything that's not that is not told to him. Not, it's not him, it's God's power. But it told, the Spirit itself will not say anything except from what it is told by God to say, which is God's truth. So how does God's Spirit lead us? Let's look at a few ways here. The Holy Spirit keeps us in contact with God's mind and works with our mind. The Apostle John describes it this way in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps God's commandments abides in him. And he, speaking of God, is in him. And by this we know that God abides in us, by the Spirit which he gives us. We can be influenced by him for the good and obey God's commandments. This is in stark contrast to the world around us. The world around us is evil. The world around us is getting worse and worse every day. It is horrible. And our own human nature, you know, we can't blame Satan for everything, although he was the start of sin and caused many people to do the wrong things. But now we have God's Holy Spirit living in us, and we can still make decisions, and we need to make right ones. So we have to be overcomers of our human nature. The overcomers shall be saved. And we don't want to think of anything evil. We want to overcome that. Mr. Horvath made that very plain. We need to be thinking of good thoughts, forgiving thoughts, to think, well, you know, we're all human, we're all fallible, we all make goofy, stupid mistakes. Forgive each other. And to be showing love and say, hey, you know, let me help you. God's Spirit also helps us come to a deeper comprehension of his truth. You know, you can read a scripture over and over and over, and you'll have it locked in your mind to read it for face value. And then all of a sudden, God will open up your mind to that scripture to see it from a different viewpoint. Different point of view. And how his truth comes out. He is working with our minds. When Jesus promised the apostles that he would send the Spirit to them, he said it would guide them into truth. And that was found in John 16, verse 13. He said it would guide them into truth. God is truth. God's Spirit inspires a deeper understanding of his word, the Bible's perfect purpose and its will, what God's will is. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it tells us, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, that is a key word right there in itself. We have to learn to love and understand that we were created by our Creator God, and that God is love, and we have to learn how to love him for actually making us alive, that we're able to think right now. This life is short. This life is very short. But he gives us this life, and you heard me mention this many times in other sermons, for two reasons. One, to learn his way of life and to be obedient, and to be tested all the days of our life. This life is a school. This life is a school with all the different ways that God is testing us to learn how to love him. But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit, his power. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man? Yeah. We as humans, human beings, mankind, we know what it is like to be a human and all the base things about it, which is in us. Even so, one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. We have to have God's Holy Spirit living in us to know the things of God and to know the deep things and the way to please Him and the way to be obedient and the way to be able to set an example before other people in the world. Like I said, you don't really have to say a word. Your example is going to speak for you on the way that you use vocabulary, the way that that you talk, the way the actions, the things that you do. And when somebody replies something to you that's off color, you know, what's going to be your response to that? Are you going to follow them, or are you going to follow what God says? In closing, the scriptures teach that we must be willing to repent, to turn from, to stop continuing in sinful things. And yes, for as long as we are living in the flesh, we will still sin every day. You're going to hear a whole lot more about that on the Passover. I'll be conducting Passover here on Passover. And we must repent daily in being humble and truly sorry for sinning. And we can ask God for forgiveness. And He is merciful. He is willing to forgive us. Something that He doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want us to look back on our old sins and dig them back up again. Don't do that. Jesus Christ paid the price for all of the sins of humanity. And you think, well, for everything? Yeah, everything. And for everyone, if you have a willing heart to accept it. He doesn't want us to dig up the old sins and even think about them. He wants us to live that new life that we must have. We must turn from being self-centered in our ways of our being selfish, and to be forgiven and cleansed of our past sins. We must be baptized. We must have hands laid on us to receive God's Holy Spirit so that we can live as a new person. Otherwise, you can't live as a new person. You're locked into those old habits, those old sinful ways. And we have to think about having God's Holy Spirit in us to be that new person, to be able to live the rest of this physical life and to live forever. If anyone wants to be counseled for baptism, let us know. Let us know. We will gladly counsel with you. We will answer any questions that you may have. We will guide and direct you in exactly what you should do. And to know the commitment, that's the main thing when I'm counseling somebody for baptism. I have to make sure that I know that they know the commitment that they are making. And that commitment is you have to turn from your old human nature self and to live for the rest of your life in obedience to God. Main thing that we want to do and that we have to keep in mind, we have to allow God's Holy Spirit to live in us. Keep that in mind.